So I want to talk to you today about developing your evangelistic ministry. Well, you might say, well, I already have an evangelistic ministry. Yes, I recognize that most of you listening to me today are already active in evangelistic ministry. But as kings who are ready to go out to field, if we were in our castle, we would be sharpening our swords. We would be preparing our armor. We would be getting ready physically for what was ahead of us in our work for that season. So, developing your evangelistic ministry. I want to talk to you today about personal intercession, personal instruction, personal integrity, personal involvement, personal initiative, personal investment, and then public recognition that goes along with developing your evangelistic ministry. You could call this a refresher course, if you will. Remember this, that as an evangelist, and those who have been running with us for many years, they recognize just how much I value the power of both private intercession and public intercession or united prayer. But in personal intercession, we want to remember these things. First, remember that you are the one who takes your personal life of prayer and worship with the Lord and you focus it in a particular direction. The scripture tells us in Matthew 9 and verse 36, that we are to pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into the harvest. But it's more than that. We want to embrace the same passion that Jesus embraced in Matthew chapter 9. Because when Jesus looked out onto the harvest fields, they were white. And the scripture tells us that he was troubled because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know, the beautiful thing about David is that David worked his father's sheep out there in the middle on the backside of maybe a craggy rock or a craggy hillside. He was busy tending his father's sheep. But in tending his father's sheep, he was preparing for the ultimate expansion of the kingdom of God. You and I, as we embrace the passion that Jesus has, as we embrace the reality of this good news, we begin to understand that the great shepherd's heart is not just a pastor's heart that is going to bring the people to one location and take care of them. But in the heart of the great shepherd, we find the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. And these fivefold ministries are engaged in bringing in the harvest and equipping the body of Christ and strengthening us together. So evangelists, as you go out into the field this year, there is no excuse for your behavior. You are empowered by the great shepherd with a behavior of God's heart, God's love, one who knows that yes, you can defeat the lion. Yes, you can defeat the bear. Yes, you can do it with one small, smooth stone. But also, you do it with the passion and the love and the commitment of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 also tells us in verses 18 through 21 that we are to pray that we would have eyes to see the hope to which he has called us. I have heard great men and women of God say this about that scripture, that as they laid their Bible out on the altar and they daily prayed out this scripture, what they discovered for their lives was that God began to open up the mystery of the gospel in new dimensions. And God began to strengthen and empower them with new insights and new ideas, not extremely different revelations, but new comprehensions of the very facets and dimensions of God. So we pray, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we truly could comprehend the hope of our calling, that he would grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we would understand the very greatness of his power to you and I who believe on him, that we would recognize the inheritance that is available for us for all things that he has called us to do in this earth. The other thing that we want to be involved in our personal intercession is we want to be praying for the pastors and for the evangelists that are out there in the field already and for the believers. According to Romans chapter 15, verses 30 through 31, we want to be praying that they will join us in the struggle of reaching the lost for Christ. Romans 15 says, I pray that I may be delivered from the unbelievers. And I pray that by God's will, I may come to you. And I pray that together with you, my team, my co-laborers in this gospel, that when we come together for outreach, for purpose, for vision, that together we will all be refreshed. And thinking about personal intercession, we also want to remember that we should, according to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, pray for open doors. I've just finished writing a mini book, or about an 80-page book I call Exploits. And in that book of exploits, I review a story. I remember when I lived on that 21st floor in Subudova on the south side, eastern side of Moscow, and team members would come to our apartment each morning at 9 a.m., and we would pray a minimum of 1 hour every day. And I remember one day as I was praying in the spirit, this word came to me, uskut, uskut, uskut. And I thought, uskut, what is an uskut? Where is uskut? And so we began searching the map for uskut, and what we discovered was that it was a tiny little village on a river in the region where the peat bogs are, just off of northern Baikal, Lake Baikal. And so we wrote it down. Several weeks later, we were out in a city called Nidiungri. And as we were preaching in that city, a pastor came up to us and said, I want you to come to my city, Bratsk. And I want to take you then to some areas around me. And I said to him, I said, do you know where Uskut is? And he said, hey, I've just started a church in Uskut. Why was that important? Your prayer track is your success track. And I had seen in the spirit long before the request came that it was God's will that we fly all of those hours from Moscow to Irkutsk. Once we got on it to Irkutsk, that we took another train from Irkutsk up to Bratsk. When we got to Bratsk, we had to get on this little, we call them puddle jumper airplanes, or little tiny airplanes, no stairs. We had to hoist each other up into the planes, throw our bags on the plane. There were no chairs, and we arrived in this little place called Uskut. To do what? To preach the gospel to a group of people who were on fire to bring the love of God to their community and the communities around them. And I remember them as I held up a map and I was preaching on the importance of the harvest field and that we must have a passion for the harvest and we must see the harvest that God sees. I held up a map of the world and I pointed way over on the side and I said, this is where I am from, Daytona Beach, Florida. Their eyes got real big and they looked and you could see it. And I said, yes, it is the uttermost ends of the earth. And we all began to laugh together because wherever you are to someone else in this earth today is the uttermost parts of the earth. Remember that we pray for open doors so that we know that we are finding that direction and where we are headed to. Then also, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, we want to pray that our message spread, and we also want to pray that we would be delivered from wicked and evil people. There are those who do not know Christ, and they will have schemes, but we are praying now in our daily worlds, in our personal worlds. I have many a time had a vision in the middle of the night, seen a face, and sometimes known it was an evil face, and that I needed to be very aware of that face as I marched out onto the field to do the evangelism event for that day. Or as I was going to set up the event, I could be warned that I might go to jail if I did the wrong thing. I was warned that if this face shows up, I was to remove them immediately. I've been warned that this person was in desperate need of salvation and was going to die. I've been told so many things in the middle of the night? Because I believe, like you, I practice the lifestyle of personal intercession and worship before the Lord. Developing your evangelistic ministry begins on the foundation of recognizing the importance of personal intercession. What is also important for every evangelist, you know, they say about evangelists, they blow up, they blow in, they've got their two messages, and they blow out of town. Let it not be said about you that you blow into town like the wind, you blow up like some type of a bomb, and then you blow out of town and you blow out a message that has no life. No, never let it be said about you that way. Remember always that as an evangelist, as a minister, as a layperson who is going out to reach the lost, always remember this, that you are to meditate, to memorize, and to reflect on the Word of God. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 tells us that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and that it discerns the very thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hey, I want the thoughts of God. I want the intentions of God for my ministry and what I must accomplish in the harvest fields of the world. We want that for you as well.